Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and our commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, May 5th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, we had another up day in gold today.
Yep.
Moved up, was up 13, 17 for the high, $6 more than where it's at right now. Up $9 and change at $13.10. You have silver up 11 cents at $19.67. Platinum was up 11 at $14.54, along with palladium up 7 at $8.21. And the USDX today still trading very strongly below that 80 level, 79.49 down 0.02. Crude oil just hanging out there at 99.42. And the paper was all the action in the markets were done earlier today. They did, the U.S. stocks did recover from an earlier sell-off, and they were down close to triple digits earlier today. The Dow is up now at 17 at 16,530, along with the NASDAQ up 14 at 41,38, along with the S&P up 3 at 18,84, and even the 10-year yield. Well, the yield anyway is higher, 0.02 at 2.61%. And that wraps it for a Monday. It's a typical trading day for Monday. Markets move early. They just sort of settle down, and not a lot of action in the afternoon. So it was markets did have a they did bounce back out, and we're ready for another day tomorrow. So,
prices will change again, won't they?
Yes, and I do want to remind the listeners that we do have a special guest today. We have Greg Hunter joining us this afternoon. He'll be joining us at the break at 4:20. This was just an over the weekend conversation, and ask him, and so we were unable to provide
advance notice on Friday.
So,
but we're giving you advance notice now that 20 minutes or thereabouts from now, he'll be here.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking
about days advance notice. You get 20 minutes advance notice.
Yeah, we'll be talking about Ukraine. We're going to be talking about the U.S. dollar and many, many other things. So, interesting day, Al.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Here's something interesting from Zero Hedge. This is one of these things that you just read, and it just cracks you up, kind of. I mean, it's almost like, oh, my God. You know, if you were writing this sort of thing, for comedy in Hollywood, they'll say, nobody will believe that. It might be funny, but nobody will believe it. True story. This is from ZeroHedge.com. And the headline is, 2 days after swearing market isn't rigged, SEC slaps New York Stock Exchange wrist for rigging markets. Okay? 2 days after the new SEC head, Security Exchange Commission head, Mary Jo White, she solemnly promised Congress under oath that the markets are not rigged. 2 days later, the SEC comes out swinging and slaps the wrist of the New York Stock Exchange with an intolerable $4.5 million fine for allowing market rigging for a period of time from 2008 to 2012. Well, the complaint goes on. I'm not going to go into the details of the complaint. And technically, it may be that Mary Jo White can testify under oath that they're not rigged today, which is not quite the same thing as saying they weren't rigged from 2008 to 2012. There's a little wiggle room on her oath here, but it's still one of these things that's, you look at it and it's like some of the reports we get. What is the inflation rate? What is the unemployment rate? If I understand correctly, the inflation rate does not reflect, the official inflation rate does not reflect the price of food or energy. Gasoline. Now, I'm not absolutely certain that's true, but I've heard that's true, and I should verify.
No, they do pull out the inner core of the inflation rate when they produce, and they eliminate the necessities of food and energy.
So there's no inflation. I don't know how much inflation there is on moon rocks right now. Maybe that's part of the calculation, but they're not going to calculate food. What do you suppose the official inflation rate would be if they reflected the increases in prices of food? What do you suppose it would be if they just reflected what's happening to energy costs?
Certainly a lot higher than what they announced.
I know. It's just one of those things. And it's, again, it's just kind of shameless. It's ridiculous. It's the sort of thing that you would imagine they have more self-respect than to try to get away with these kinds of stunts, but they don't. They don't have that much respect for themselves, nor do they have that much respect for the American people. They just say, we'll fool them. We'll fool them. They'll fall for anything.
But what's amazing now is here's a lousy $4.5 million fine. During that time frame, and we know the rigging goes on a lot longer than from 2008 to 2012, but we'll just use that time frame. How many billions of dollars do you think they made with this rigging that they pretty much have come out and admitted? And no one, everybody is too big to jail anymore. Nobody goes to jail.
No.
Nobody gets it. If I did it, I go to jail.
Poor people, middle class, or that sort of thing. But I mean, if you're rich and you're connected, you don't go to jail anymore.
No, you get a $1 million fine. You make billions.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they probably wasted that much money, you know, hiring people to cater their lunches or bringing girls from the local topless saloon down. I don't know how much they've spent, but $1 million a year is what it works out to. I've been at it in 2008, 2009, 10, 11, 12. Actually, it's 5 years there altogether. $4.5 million, about $1 million a year, maybe a little less.
They should be so ashamed. They shouldn't even report this.
They just laugh and grin.
But we see it time and time again. Look at all these heads of banks, you know, these banks get, you know, a million here, a million there, and no one, we didn't do anything wrong, we miscalculated, but, you know, we'll pay your little fine. What I want to know is these fines, they do add up. Who's getting all these millions of dollars? Of course, they're going to the...
Who's getting the millions of dollars for imposing such a trivial fine?
Yeah.
All right, you get a public fine of $4.5 million. I can't help wondering if you don't get a private fine on top of that to get the $4.5 million.
Absolutely.
How much do you pay on top of that? It's just disgusting. It's offensive. It irritates me. What else? Here's one here from National Journal. Headline is Edward Snowden says NSA spies most on Americans. We watch our own people more closely than we watch any other population in the world. Edward Snowden, of course, he's the guy with the leaks on the NSA probably a year ago now. Edward Snowden told a crowd of fans on Wednesday that the U.S. government's surveillance programs collect more data on Americans than it does any other country. Do you think it's right? This is Snowden talking, and he says, do you think it's right that the NSA is collecting more information about Americans in America than it is about Russians in Russia? And I'll tell you, it is right. Right? It's not morally right, but it makes absolute sense because the government understands that the principal enemy to the government of the United States is the people of the United States. They get that. And that's not just true in this country, that's true in every country. And this is exactly why the government spies more on us than they do anyone else. They're not worried. They come up and they tell you, oh, we're going to save you from the Russian boogeyman or the Nazi boogeyman. Or they've got a boogeyman most of the time, or the terrorists. The terrorists are coming to get you. There's a terrorist in the woodpile. And the government will save all of you little people from the terrorists. The only people that are doing any harm to your rights, your liberties, the American dream, your future, is your government. And the government knows that, and they are concerned, they're wondering, will the American people ever wake up and realize the kind of treason that's been committed against the people of the United States of America by the government of the United States? Because if you people ever do figure it out, you're going to be angry. And that's why they need to watch you and me and Melody and anyone else. They're not worried about what the Russians do. You know, years ago I saw a situation they compared. They built, this goes back probably maybe into the 70s. And they were building a Russian embassy in Washington, D.C. right about the same time they were building an American embassy over in Moscow. They built the American embassy in a low spot in Moscow. So they couldn't take advantage of higher elevations and advanced communication. It would inhibit their communication a little bit. They knew that the Russian embassy was built with listening devices in almost every brick and almost every beam that went into building the structure. They didn't care. They just let it go. Here in the United States, the Russians built their embassy, and where'd they build it? On the highest hill in Washington, D.C., which at the time was an advantage for capturing microwave transmissions. You can sit back and say, is the government stupid? Don't they try to at least prevent the Russians from installing listening devices in the American embassy in Moscow and prevent the Russians from building their embassy on a high hill in Washington, D.C. so they can intercept microwave transmissions? And the answer is they're not stupid. They don't care. The principal business of every government is to control their own people. The principal enemy of every government is their own people. And they try to deceive people by saying there's a boogeyman, the government's going to protect you against the boogeyman. The boogeyman is just so much crapola. Generally speaking, that's the truth of the matter. The biggest problem you have is Washington, D.C., and they understand that. And they understand if you folks ever realize what I'm saying is true, you're going to be a lot of trouble. And they don't want that. That's why they spy on us. So when Snowden says, do you think it's right for the NSA, that the NSA is collecting more information about Americans in America than it does about Russians in Russia? I say, yeah, it's right. It's not morally right, but it makes perfect sense. They are spying on the people that they most distrust. That's you, me, and Melody. All right? It's not the Russians. They could care less about the Russians. They're just convenient boogeymen. That's all they really are. Anything else, Melody? Does that make any sense to you, or is that just, does that sound like more ranting?
No, I mean, it's, you know, it's there, we know it, and it's, you know, it's been going on for a very long time. It's something new.
Been true. It was true for Rome. It was true for every great empire the world's ever seen. In the end, it was not destroyed by outside forces. It was taken down by their own governments. It's part of the reason why the people who built our Constitution, drafted the Constitution, they gave us three branches of government. Why? In order to keep the government fighting with itself rather than coming out to get you, me, and Melody. They gave us freedom of speech. Why? So we could talk about what the latest styles are, or so we could talk about whatever the people in Congress and the White House and the courts are doing. The freedom of speech is intended to protect us against the government. Freedom of the press, same thing. It's not to get your horoscope, it's to find out what the government is up to.
Really?
Yeah, that's what it's ultimately about, and as is the Second Amendment. You read the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and it makes clear. The genius of the American Constitution is that it was an anti-government document. It attempted to limit the powers of government. Why would you limit the powers of government unless you distrusted it? The founders did not trust Washington, D.C. any further than anyone could throw the Washington Monument. They understood that you give people power, you put them in positions where they're not accountable, and they will abuse that power. They tried to restrict it that power as best they could. They did the level best they could at the time. There are some things you could complain about in the Constitution, but by and large, it's an extraordinary document precisely because it's an anti-government document. Tries to limit power. And the only reason you limit it is because you know up front it's going inevitably going to be populated by a bunch of hustlers, con artists, thugs, and treasonous whores. That's who is drawn to the power. They knew that. They gave us a constitution that said, yeah, you can have a republic if you can keep it. Can you keep it? That's what Ben Franklin said. A woman asked him, well, Mr. Franklin, what kind of government have you given us? He said, a republic, if you can keep it. They understood two fundamental truths in life. One, government is routinely populated by a bunch of hustlers, con artists, treasonous whores. And two, the people of the nation don't much care as long as they can turn on TV and watch Gilligan's Island or whatever. And so the two go hand in hand. People who don't care and government who don't care about the law and people who don't care about corruption. And the two go hand in hand, and here we are, losing the American dream, losing American greatness, grandeur. And when will it stop? It'll stop if and when you folks begin to understand that your relationship with government is not that of beneficiaries and some beneficent grantor who gives you things for nothing. The relationship of every man, woman, and child in this country with the government is essentially adversarial. And if you don't get that, you don't accept that, well, then fine. Watch and see how it works out. The only way you're going to keep this government in line is understanding it's not your benefactor, it's your adversary. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back with Greg Hunter in about 3 minutes. Please stay tuned.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Who
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and I believe our guest, Greg Hunter, is present. You here, Greg?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
Good.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Melody. Hi, Alfred.
Hi.
Yep. Good talking to you.
And I just, before we go, I just want to tell the listeners that they can go to your website, usawatchdog.com, and to view all the videos that you do, the interviews that you do. It's a wonderful website. And the work that you do is terrific.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Appreciate being on your show. Thanks for the kind words.
Let's go ahead with, you interviewed Jim Rogers lately.
I did.
Recently. And you talked about the Ukraine. And I think the first question that people need to understand or need to ask and an answer they need to understand, who started the current Ukrainian crisis?
Well, I was surprised at Jim Rogers. You know, Jim Rogers is an American, and he doesn't like to see bad things happen to America. He's not anti-American, but he's just trying to be objective and be an investor and try to figure out where things are going. But he clearly said, and the evidence is there, that we fomented a coup in Ukraine, Kiev, during the Sochi Olympics, while the Russians were tied up with the Olympics and the possible security threats, which, if you take a look at this plan now, oh, they had all these soldiers all tied up around Sochi to stop from some kind of a horrible terrorist activity. That never happened in Sochi. There was no terror activity, but there was a coup that happened in Kiev in our own State Department. One of them, Victoria Nuland, was on record saying that we spent $5 billion in Ukraine, and up into the time Shazam, we got a new leader installed with a coup, which it's illegal for the U.S. to be giving Ukraine any money at all, because any government that changes hands with a coup, that's what happened in Egypt, that, you know, we had a change of government with a coup, and, you know, the White House couldn't say, well, it was a coup. They couldn't say that because it's illegal for them to give, you know, money. So anyway, what we have now, if you know
it's illegal for them to receive money too. But that doesn't seem to slow them down, does it?
Well, it's us giving.
I'm talking about Congress, for example, and people.
What we have in Ukraine is really spiraling out of control. I mean, we've seen, Russian bombers and fighters over Crimea, which they have a big naval base there that houses their Black Sea Fleet. I didn't know what. I've said on my show before Jim Rogers, I said, what do you think the Russians were going to do? It's like, you know, trying to foment a coup in Hawaii and take over Pearl Harbor. I mean, what did they think they were going to do? Yeah. What did they think the response would be? Anyway, the long and short of it, Jim Rogers talked about, you know, these ridiculous sanctions, and they're not really sanctioning, you know, businesses, and there's so much business being done between Russia and the EU. I mean, Germany, this is in a Reuters story, they have 6,000, not a misprint, 6,000 businesses with some sort of business relationship between Russia and Germany.
Mm-hmm.
France has big relationships with Russia. The UK has big relationships at BP, Royal Dutch Shell, big relationships with Russia. So, you know, they're squeamish about these sanctions because, you know, Europe, much of Europe is in at least recession. Part of it is in arguably depression. And, you know, Germany is not, you know, keen on, you know, most of the Germans, I think less than a quarter of the Germans want any kind of sanctions. They think they should stay out of it. So, you know, you have a situation where the U.S. is trying to, quote, isolate Russia, you know, a country with 11 time zones and huge borders, that Jim Rogers says, you know, he's not going to be able to do it. You can't isolate Russia. There's going to be plenty of people who are going to want to trade with Russia. So the situation
and they're right on Russia's border because Russia is such an enormous country with such
yes.
a huge border. There are, I don't know, a dozen or more countries there. Of course they're going to trade with Russia. They're not going to be isolated.
Russia,
that's just not going to happen in a meaningful sense.
That's what Jim Rogers said. He said it's ridiculous. And what Putin is saying. And listen, there's no USA watchdog. Could not happen in Russia. Okay, there cannot be Russia watchdog. So let's get this clear about, you know, Putin being a rock star. You know, people, you know, I'm not siding with Putin, but what Putin has said, I'm trying to look at the objective evidence and say, how bad is this going? And it's not going well. Putin said that, you know, these sanctions could backfire. What this is doing is turbocharging the move away from the dollar. That's another thing Jim Rogers brought up. I thought it was a very, very simple, very succinct, very clear-headed, easy to understand. I mean, you want to be the world's reserve currency. And then the U.S. comes out and says, well, if you do this, we're going to stop you from using the SWIFT system. We're going to stop you from using dollars. If you do that, if you don't do this, we're going to keep you from trading in dollars. Well, what's that going to do to people? They're going to say, well, let's not trade in dollars. Let's trade in yuan
What do you suppose is their motivation? What are they thinking of when they make it more difficult to use dollars rather than easier to use dollars?
You know, I'll go back with a friend of mine said back in 2008, and we were having a conversation, he says, I think they're doing it on purpose. I says, I don't know if they're trying to collapse the economy on purpose or if they're doing it out of stupidity. He says, then he looked at me and said, well, either way, isn't it going to collapse? And that's really, yes, either way, the world's going to get away from the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. This is accelerating it. It's not slowing it down. There's a deal. It's on my website, USA Watchdog. It's from the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. I'm not saying this is going to happen overnight, but this is you're starting to see the beginnings of the U.S. dollar not being used. For example, the International Monetary Fund, which is housed in Washington, incidentally. That's what its address is. You know, they just quoted a bailout deal to Ukraine. And in the bailout deal, they quoted the deal $11 billion in special drawing rights currency, SDRs. Special drawing rights, which is a basket of several currencies, not U.S. dollar. But they quoted it in SDRs. Now, I don't remember of any kind of – I've been doing this at least – you know, since I had my site, you know, really hypersensitive to the economic stories, I think that's the big story. I haven't seen a SDR bailout or a bailout with the IMF involving SDRs. Have you? That's a new wrinkle.
No, I've never heard of it. Are they trying to introduce the SDRs? They've only been a theory as near as I've been able to see up until now.
Well,
are they trying to give it some traction in the practical, in the real world?
According to Jim Rickards, they did use SDRs in the late 70s. They did use SDRs in the late 70s, but only for a short period of time. Wasn't a big deal. So it's not in theory. It has been used, I mean, this is a new wrinkle. I have never heard any kind of a bailout deal with Greece. You know, they were involved in Cyprus. You didn't hear any bailout deal quoted in SDRs. You didn't hear any bailout deal in Greece quoted in SDRs. You heard them quoted in euros and dollars. And, you know, all of a sudden we have this term, SDRs, basket of currencies, which you know, Russia and China, they want some parity. They want control over the IMF. They don't want the U.S. being the Bigfoot entity in the International Monetary Fund. And look what happens when somebody steps out of line. Well, you know, we'll stop you from using the SWIFT system. We won't allow you to settle international trade. Well, and what's that
it's
also
just
done?
It's shooting yourself in the foot. And
it's
the sort of thing that it looks to me as if the government might have been able to throw its weight around and make these kinds of threats and impose these kinds of restrictions maybe 10 years ago. But I get the feeling right now that I don't think they can make good on these demands. I don't think they can enforce them. And to me, I'm wondering, is this evidence of government's power or is it evidence of government's growing desperation?
I think the latter, and I think somebody writes me on my site, Alfred and Melody, they write me on my site saying, well, should I, you know, be in a good bank, and should I be? Yes, you should be in the strongest bank possible, and the big banks are not so strong. Yes, but you're really fighting the last war. You're talking about a banking failure, and I think we are going to have banking failures, but the bigger picture, if you add in this FDR and the International Monetary Fund, I asked Doug Casey about this. He's a recent interview. I said, what's your take on this? And I'm quoting this deal. It's an IMF. It's not something. It's on the IMF website. I have the link on my site, and they closed the deal on FDR, so you can see it. I'm not an expert on this. I asked Doug Casey, and he says, well, you know, my take on that would be maybe they're wanting to get paid back in something of value, and they want to retain its value, so they spread this out in this special drawing rights, SDRs, in this currency. Well, it's only a two-year deal. What does that mean? I mean, they're worried about the devaluating, you know, the value dollar on the world stage, a big currency reset. I mean, Christine Lagarde, the managing director of the IMF, other people, China, Russia, a lot of people have a lot of problems with the dollar being the world reserve currency. I mean, after all, we have a 17.5 trillion dollar cash deficit. We're on the hook, according to people like Lawrence Kotlikoff, 200 trillion. Hey, people in Russia, in China, in India, they have their version of Wharton Business School. They all send people to Yale and Harvard. They got smart people there. So they all see this, you know, the powers see this coming. We cannot ever pay this debt back. You know what would happen to America if we really tried? They keep saying, well, we'll grow our way out. We haven't grown our way out of anything. Nobody ever says, well, let's pay some of this debt. If you realize what would happen to America if we had to pay back just the $17 trillion, you know, and more
it's
than
about $50,000 for every man, woman, and child in the country.
Well, there's right. You know what kind of a grinding halt the economy would come to? The problem is losing the currency, and this is what I was going to say. People are worried about their bank, and when you swipe your credit card, you're creating money. We've created all this money. You're fighting the last war, and the last war was when we had a standard, a stable currency, the dollar. Even though they devalued it against gold at, 70-something percent in 33, FDR, even though we did, it was still stable. It was still backed by gold. Yes, banks went under because we let people go under. We didn't pump tons and trillions and, trillions of dollars out ad nauseum to bail people out in, 20 billion a month now, as they say. A lot of people say there is no real taper. But anyway, you're fighting, what people need to look at is the currency. I know you guys sell gold. I don't, but I know you do. I don't sell gold to people, but my position is everybody should have some. Now, some people don't have enough money to have any. They should go out and buy tires and toilet paper and shampoo and canned food. But everybody who's got any kind of investment should have some. If they have a retirement, if they have savings, they should save something in other than dollars and paper. Because, Casey, for example, who's a big-time investor, has houses around the world, knows something about global investing, and he said something. It's funny when people who don't know each other start saying the same thing. You start thinking, Fabian Calvo said the same thing. He said, I think that the bond market and the real estate market and the stock market and, of course, the dollar will simultaneously, will daisy chain, will all fail. Well, that's what Casey says. Casey says, you know, rates go up, you know, they lose control of this, and you'll see the stock market, the bond market, you know, the real estate market, everything will implode. I mean, where would real estate prices be if you just had 7% interest rates? Fear. I mean, fear. You tell somebody, well, listen, rates are going to go from 4.4%, which they have all kinds of problems selling houses. There's all kinds of negative news about housing. And we, you know, it ought to be taken off like a rocket. That's scary. It should be taken off like a rocket. 4.4%. Woohoo! Happy days are here again. And they're having a hard time. People can't even, they are allowing people with the 550 FICO scores to get a house loan. And we're hearing now that the subprime is, and it's been in cars, but it's increasing in automobiles. And, you know, we had in the fourth quarter, I'm telling you, we had a 2.6%, if you believe their numbers, GDP growth in the fourth quarter of 13. Well, you know what just happened recently in the first quarter? The best they could make it look was 0.1%. What is that, a 2,500% drop off in GDP? Oh, but it's the weather. Don't worry.
It was unseasonably cold in the winter and unseasonably windy in the spring. It'll be unseasonably hot or maybe unseasonably cool in the summer, but it'll be the weather's always unseasonable.
And don't forget we had Easter.
That's right. That fade into things too. Well, anyway, the long and short of it is when you're looking at this situation, I think it's all going to come down to the money. And that's why you're seeing these, Chinese type, investments in the U.S. in solar farms, and productive assets. I mean, they're venting off their treasuries while they still can quietly. You know, you don't hear China, complaining about the U.S. You don't hear them that much complaining. A few years ago they did. Remember that these stories about the Chinese? Well, they're not complaining because, let's vent this off. Let's make sure we can get out before things explode. Let's get this out while we still can. That's what's going on, I think, not just in the U.S., but globally. China is very big investors
Everyone
in Africa. They're very big investors in South America and Central America. Very big investors everywhere.
Everyone who looks at this, you mentioned a couple of people right now that aren't connected, but they come to the same conclusion. We can pretty much see what's going to happen. All right. We don't know exactly what sequence there are variables. Everyone has a pretty good idea of what's going to happen, but who has a pretty good idea of when it's going to happen?
That is the $64,000 question. I had a professor in college, and he said, when we came up with that question, he said, that's the Riviera question. I said, what does that mean? Well, because even back in the day, I had 200 people in the classroom, right? So it's a big lecture hall. He says, and he brought up some point, and I can't remember what it was, but it was this is the Riviera question, but he kind of sat there and he, wait for it. Well, if you can answer this question, you will be rich and you will spend the rest of your life on the French Riviera in the lap of luxury. And so that's the $64,000 question, and my contention is, nobody's going to walk out with a bugle. Nobody's going to come on CNBC one morning and say, hey, today's the day you should be selling everything and getting out of the market and transferring some of your wealth into other areas. I'll tell you, Jim Rickards, I had him on. He wrote The Death of Money, which is probably heading towards another bestseller. He also had Currency Wars before that. And he's an insider. I mean, he's a guy that the Pentagon calls in and says, hey, we're going to have some war games and we're going to simulate attacking China financially. Would you come
We've got a break. We've got to stop for a break here and take some commercial announcements, Greg. And when we come back, tell us what Mr. Rickards had to say and what he anticipates. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom and our guest, Greg Hunter. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom and our guest, Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. We were talking to Greg before the break about when the $64,000 question, when can we expect to see some serious problems? Most of us see problems coming, but when are they going to arrive? Greg was talking to Jim Rickards. And Mr. Rickards offered apparently a prediction, and Greg was going to give us that prediction. And go ahead, Greg.
Well,
tell us what
he would be the first to say he doesn't that it's going to happen fast. When it happens, it'll be stunningly fast. It'll be stupefying. And really, what we really have, and this is going back to my days as a, you know, investigative reporter, and I always followed the money. If I didn't follow the money, I didn't follow the economy, but I followed the money. I did a financial fraud and financial crimes. They were my favorite story because it was the money. It was the money, no matter whether you're black or white or young or old or female or male or whatever it is. Everybody universally hated being ripped off. And frauds ended quickly. That's what happens with frauds. Look at Bernie Madoff. Wow, it's great until it's not. And then one day, poof, it was over. It's like the line out of the Forrest Gump movie, right? That line that in the first, you know, two thirds of the movie or so, and then one day it was over, just like that. And that's what's going to happen here. And I mean, look at the stunning slowdown from the fourth quarter to the first quarter of 2014, the fourth quarter of 2013, a 2,500% drop in GDP. That's the best they can make it look. People like John Williams say that ShadowSense.com say the growth was really negative. Even some people at the Fed are being quoted on the internet last week as saying, well, it appears maybe the growth was actually negative. And I think if you factor in true inflation, which, according to ShadowSense.com, if you did it the way the Bureau of Labor Statistics did it in 1980 or earlier, that would be 8 or 9%. So are we growing? And the answer is no. I don't think we are. I mean, the stock market's hitting all-time highs because they think that they're going to continue to print crazy amounts of money, and everybody's shaking off the wet noodle sanctions, you know, sanctioning individuals. When have you ever heard that? we're not going to sanction your businesses. We're just going to sanction some individuals. And, you know, you can't come to the Super Bowl, and you can't come to the Kentucky Derby, and whatever.
Yeah, I know. No Disney World for you this year. You know,
right, it's dumb. I mean, it's because
I'm not absolutely certain. I thought it was dumb, too, when I first looked at it, and I've thought that for a considerable period of time. But in the last week or so, I've begun to wonder if maybe it's not completely dumb. And what I mean by that is by sanctioning corrupt Russian officials, otherwise they wouldn't have enough money to hide in foreign bank accounts, and oligarchs and multinational corporations, does this reflect a new geopolitical reality where the wars of the future are going to be less about wars between nations and maybe more about wars between corporations? Do you see what I'm saying there, Greg? We're going to go after the corporate heads over there. We're going to go after the big guys. We're not going after the nation. We don't care about the Russian people. Is that possible?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I see what you're saying, but, listen, if you look at the news right now, today, I mean, they got, 40-50 people killed in this latest action. You've got Russian fighters and bombers flying around Crimea. They got, something like tens of thousands of troops. Some people say 40,000, on the border. I mean, they're shooting it out. I mean, it's, part of
I don't doubt that the nations and the national military will be the ones in charge of waging this war. But is the war against the nation, the adversarial nation, or is it against its corrupt politicians, its oligarchs, and its multinational corporations? What are we really going after? And there's a question. There's not a pure answer, but it's, on a scale of 1 to 10, where are we?
Well, I don't think that what they're doing is meaningful. You wouldn't do this if you really wanted to.
I agree with you. I'm inclined to agree with you. I'm just saying
I think it's a way for the Western leaders to look strong without doing anything. It's a way for President Obama, who continually says that, and this is the dichotomy here. I mean, everybody from the president on down, and I am not a warmonger. I'm just telling you what I see. And what I see from the president on down is the military option is off the table. That's what I hear on his side. On the Putin side, on the Russian side, from him, Lavrov, on down, the military option is on the table, and you can see it's on the table. Are the Russians over there with their spies and their the folks and their special forces? I'm sure they are. Are we over there with our special forces and our stuff? I don't know if we are, but we are definitely, we've definitely had a hand in this coup, and there's a banker and being put in power in Kiev. And so, and I'm sure there's all kinds of things going on in the background that we don't know anything about. What we do know is that tensions are heightening, and the situation is getting worse. We've sent troops to places like Poland, even though it's a small number. People like Poland and people like Latvia and Estonia, we've sent places, troops to places like that. It's only 600 or so, but still, that's the move that that's being made. It's not getting better. It's getting worse, and this is therein lies the problem, is that we have a very shaky system to begin with. It's being propped up with money printing and phony statistics.
Yeah.
So what could happen to make this thing get blown up? And I will say one other thing before I let you say, Jim Rickards is destined to talk about owning any stock in his book, The Death of Money. He does not talk about stocks as an asset. None. Zero. He talks about gold, farmland, precious metals, hedge funds, people, professional money management. That's for people with, some real means. That really doesn't include me. It may include you, Alfred or Melody, but it doesn't include normal people. I might give you a hard time making a joke. But he also, artwork. I mean, this is the kind of not bonds, not stocks. Don't you think that's unusual for a professional money guy to be talking about really just tangible assets?
If you can see the writing on the wall, it's not unusual at all. It just makes perfect sense. I agree with him. The whole idea is we're not just talking about the price of gold going up, for example, or the price of assets going up. We're talking about something adverse happening to the paper dollar. where the dollar becomes loses enormous value and might even potentially collapse. That's what this is all about.
People like Kyle Bass say, well, the dollar could strengthen into 2018. That's what Kyle Bass at Hyman Capital. I will take the other side of that. I say that you need a little bit of everything, even cash. I mean, the guy at 321 Gold, Bob Moriarty, wrote a thing a few years ago, and it really stuck with me. I'm going to credit him for it, and I'm going to paraphrase it. It's not the exact quote, but here's the idea. And the idea is that he wrote this piece. He says, I know people will give me a hard time. He runs a website called 321 Gold. As I know people give me a hard time, but cash is going to work really good for a short period of time. I don't know if it's 3 weeks, 3 months, 6 months, not much longer than that. Maybe 9 months, I don't know. But it's going to work really well for a short period of time, cash out of the banks. Then you have a whole other echelon
of checking accounts can't be relied on to work. For example, if you wanted to sell your car and someone comes up to you and says, I'd like to give you a check for your used car. We can't absolutely, in a worst-case scenario, we can't count on that check clearing the bank. But with cash, you've got a deal.
You've got to deal with cash at least for some degree of time. And so, I'm very reticent to tell people to buy gold because I don't know what their background is, or silver. I mean, one guy writes me one time and says, hey, I've got $10,000 in savings. Should I go out and buy gold? No, you shouldn't. No, you shouldn't. You should go put new tires on your car. You should go fix your house up. You should go keep some cash out. You should go buy some groceries and rotate, first in, first out, FIFO. Maybe buy a little silver. I don't know. But no, you should not. No.
I'm a believer that it's the suitability. And I'm the only dealer in this country who talks to the clients and find out where they are. What are their plans? How are they positioned? And is this something for them? And, we try to help our clients in that degree. And it comes to holding what type of product you buy also. What is suitable for you?
Yes. And people want me to say that, want me to you don't really know. I mean, I don't want somebody. Oh,
there's an element of probability.
Yes, everybody should have some. And how much should be is what you should, I mean, there's 40% according to a Pew poll. I mean, did you see? 40% of the people have 7% of the assets. I mean, this is something that came up with who made this point. And this is a scary point. And that is that 40% of the people can't put their hands on $2,000 in 30 days.
Yeah.
40% of the people don't have. If they lost their job, they'd be broke in a week.
And
they'd be
out
starving
of food
in 2 weeks.
Just about that fast also. And there's the danger. There is the great danger. We are so dependent on this economy, and we are no longer capable of personal independence in a meaningful sense, or at least a lot of us. If something happens, it's going to be a terrible situation. Who do you know? In your interviews, do you know anyone who is optimistic and they actually think, because you talk to a lot of people that are knowledgeable and intelligent and so on, who do you know who is optimistic? Anyone?
Well, I would say that's Catherine Austin Fitz would be optimistic, but even what she'll tell you comes with a caveat. And the caveat is, she talks about the breakaway society and she talks about the 3.0 society. I'm in the 3.0 society. I think you are in the 3.0 society, economy. I started my own business. I don't no longer need a network. I mean, I interviewed Jim Rogers in Singapore. I interviewed Doug Casey in Argentina. I mean, when I was at the networks, even up until 2008, I mean, Skype was just getting off the ground, and it had a million, upgrades and changes and whatever, since it, came online. And, we would have to, if you wanted to get an interview done, for, say, CNN, I'd have to talk to my producer, who's probably worth $150,000 salary plus benefits, and she'd have to contact the production department, and we have to buy time on the satellite, and we'd have to have the floor manager in the studio, cameras are robotic, and we'd have to have somebody turn the lights on, and have somebody in the control room, have a director, and have somebody who's going to, operate to intake the video. I think even then we probably didn't have videotape then, but not if we did, we were just almost done with it in 2008. And we have to have an audio guy running the board, and wow, how hard is it to get an interview from Singapore? Pretty hard. How hard was it for me to get an interview from Singapore? Not that hard.
I mean, no, it's pretty amazing. It's amazing what you can do with. It's not even extraordinarily sophisticated in terms of one man. We can reach out. We had a guy on the program on a regular basis back last year. He was in Argentina. Not a problem.
Not a problem.
Call him. Yeah.
I had
amazing. It's really astonishing.
I had Doug Casey on. It looked like. I mean, I had Jim Rogers on, and of course, this is a guy worth $300+ million. And you know, you take him when you can get him. He's riding his exercise bike, and he did me a favor to interview with me. And so, some people were upset, like it was, you know, rude or whatever. Hey, anytime somebody worth this kind of money, published author, you know, very successful investor, and has been successful because of his analysis. I don't care what you're doing. You can blow up balloons. You could play ping pong. As long as you want to talk to us and give us some information, and. This is the disruptive part of technology. Back to, is there anybody that is optimistic? And sure, but not until there is a lot of fallout, and particularly in people in the middle class, and particularly people who can't put their hands on $2,000, particularly people who are totally dependent upon the government. You know, the government may, you know, you can probably find this quote on YouTube. Alan Greenspan testified in front of Congress one time, and this is very chilling, and the longer this goes on, the more chilling this is. This has been 2006 before Bernanke took over, 2005, somewhere in that 5-4. He was still, at the Fed. He testified in front of Congress. He said, you know, we can guarantee you the dollars. We can guarantee you the money. But we can't guarantee you the buying power of the money. And that's back to what I'm talking about, you know, the banks being solvent or insolvent or whatever. I'm talking about whether the currency, what's the buying power of the currency? Even if the dollar doesn't disappear, what's the buying power of the currency going to be? What would happen on an IMF currency reset? You can bet the dollar's not going to be worth what it is today.
And we have to let it go at that. With that, Greg, this is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. We want to thank you, Greg, for being on the program. We want to thank all of you folks for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow on Financial Survival. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Greg, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.